139th Psalm. Psalms 139th Psalm. I'm going to read this psalm. I want you to follow along with me. Psalm's always a wonderful, wonderful place to read. So much joy and so many truths. And often you can sense the heart of the one doing the writing. Psalm 139. It's kind of right in the middle of your Bible. Not too far from the middle. And I'm waiting for our stragglers to get where they need to be. Somebody help those young people get in here. Now, you young people that just come in, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. From now on, you go to the bathroom before you come up here for church. You understand that? You don't go during fellowship song. You go to the bathroom before you come up here for church. Once you're up here, you're up here. You got it? You fellows got it? You guys back there, you got it? Rayshawn, you hearing me? All right. Listen. Don't make me turn you over to heaven. All right, Psalm 139. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Can I just stop right there for a minute? Do you understand what he's saying? David is saying before he was ever conceived, before he was ever born, God had written his members in a book. I'm bringing that around because this idea that abortion is not murder. Listen, America's standing in a place, we're in a very, very dangerous place because we have murdered millions of babies through abortion. They say it's just a fetus. They say it's just a piece of flesh. This is a person. Well, let's read on. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Father, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you for the words that you've had David to put down for us. Thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit on what to write. We know no man could have ever written this. It's by the leadership of your Holy Spirit this blessed book is in existence. Now we pray for your blessing as we're going to look to your word and ask you to speak to our hearts. Ask you to convict and convince us. No doubt there are unsaved people here, people who have no assurance if they died right now they'd go to heaven. But the Bible says they can have assurance if they would simply come to Christ, believe on him, accept him as their Savior. And then we pray for Christians here. Oh, God, break us out of our lethargy. Plow up that fallow ground. Stir hearts. Convict. Do what only you can do in our midst. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention to verses 23 and 24 where David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I titled this, "Search Me, O God." Search me, O God. Have you ever been subjected to a search? It could be that your home was searched, or your car, or even worse, your person. And in these days we're living now of heightened security due to terrorism, it's much more frequent that we are being searched in one way or another. I know for many years we would fly to Florida when we went to see our daughter, and we've kind of stopped doing that. One of the reasons is I got sick and tired of security. You know, they want to search you, they want to search your luggage, and then sometimes they call you aside, and you have to take your shoes and belt off and this and that, you know. But being searched is not a very pleasant thing. Being searched goes against our human nature. When we're searched, we have someone invading our personal space. What is personal and private to us is now open to the view of those one or ones who are doing the searching. And I thought about all that, and I thought about this. Generally speaking, no one is going to request to be searched. I'm sure the police, I'm sure the security people at the airport, they don't have people run up and say, "Search me!" Yet here in the text we've read, we find David pleading with God to search him. Here is David begging God to put his magnifying glass on David's life and to inspect the most private areas of his life and to uncover all the problem areas that may be hidden in David's life. I read this and I have to ask myself the question, why? Why in the world would David open himself up completely and plead with God to do a thorough inspection of those very secret parts of his life? I think the answer is twofold. First, I think David has a sincere desire to be right with God. David really in his heart wants to confront and deal with anything and everything that would hinder his relationship with the Lord. But I think there's another reason as well. I think David understood our propensity not to admit problem areas of our life to ourselves. I'm going to say that again. I think David understood The propensity we have that we don't want to admit to ourselves. The problem areas we have. And so David is saying to the Lord, Lord, you search me. He wants the Lord to search out anything that's in his life that he is not willing to admit and own up to and see, that he might take care of it. You know, this morning I believe this is a plea that it would be well for each of us to offer up to the Lord. Search me, Lord. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me and see if there's things I have not admitted to myself, I've hidden from myself, that really need to be taken care of. Search me. This morning I think we need to have that desire and to seek God's searching. I want you to notice first of all, we need to make this a personal plea like David did. We read here how this is David and he's crying out. And in those two verses, if you'll count them, he uses the personal pronoun, I or me, six times. Two verses. See, here's what I want you to understand about that. David was concerned about his heart, his mind, his life, and nobody else's. I'm not saying he didn't care about other people, but he's not concerned about God straightening you out. He's concerned about God straightening him out. David was wanting God to pinpoint the problems out in his life, not in the life of others. That's why he says, search me. And I said, this needs to be a personal plea for us as believers. We need God to, we seek God to search us and correct us. Search my life, not the life of other people, Lord. That's not my territory, that's yours. See, here's what I find. All too often we want God to convict others and to deal with others and the real problem areas of other people's lives, but we're not willing to deal with our life. But the Bible says that each of us needs to be concerned about our own life and take care of the problems in our life. You know, I thought about over in Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42, Jesus talks about the mote and the beam in a person's eye. And you know, the person with the beam, that's okay, let's try to make that relevant. One person has a splinter in their eye. And another person has a big old 2x4 in their eye. And the person with a 2x4 says to the person with a splinter, let me try to get that out of your eye. Maybe you need to take care of your eye first. See, all too often we want to try to deal with other people in their sin and try to, you know, convict them and maybe rail on them or whatever. But we got problems of our own we should be taking care of. We need to ask the Lord to help us like David did. Lord, search me. I'm not concerned about you searching my mate. That's between you and them. I'm not concerned about you searching the other church members. That's between you and them. I am concerned about you searching me. I want to be right with you. Search me, O God. This needs to be a personal plea. And then it needs to be a penitent plea. He says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I'm looking at the language of this, and I'm thinking about this. This is not a challenge to God from David. David is not saying here, go ahead and search me, Lord. You're not going to find anything. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying like some Christians, oh, I'm so right with God, he'd never find anything wrong with me. David David is saying, I'm sure there are things that I haven't owned up to. I'm sure there are things that need taken care of. And I've hidden them from myself, Lord, and I don't want anything like, search me. He wasn't feeling like he was so righteous and clean. He wasn't making a brag to God that there's nothing amiss to be found in him. It's a plea of a man who sincerely desires to be clean before God. And he says, God, examine every aspect of my life. See if there be anything wrong in me. And I think we need to have that same kind of plea. We need to go to God in all honesty with a real desire to face our sin and to work to correct the problem. We need to come to God and sincerely desire to be clean before Him and right before Him. You know, as I thought about this, I thought, what I'm preaching and what David's doing here and what I think we need to, listen, I understand it's not a pleasant thing to face our flaws. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, hey, I'm your friend and I love you, but you got a problem here? That's hard to take. Even from a friend. Even from somebody that loves you, when they come and they say, hey, there's an issue here you need to take care of. Oh, we don't want to hear that. It hurts. But it's true. And better we know and take care of it than to hide it from ourselves. I believe this with all my heart. I believe today there are very few believers who sincerely desire for God to search them. Well, why would that be? Because they don't want to own up to their sin. Listen, there's nobody in this room that's perfect. Did you get that? Including the preacher, all of us. None of us are perfect, and every one of us still sins. Now, we ought not to be practicing sin or designing or trying to go for sin, but we're still going to sin because we still live in the flesh. And so we're still going to have areas that need correction. But how many are willing to admit it? We don't like to admit that I have areas that maybe are out of step with the Lord. I'll have you know I'm a good Christian. Well, I'm glad. But I don't doubt for a minute all of us have areas where maybe we're out of step with the Lord. Need to get back in step. And I've met a lot of Christians who would rather hide their sin or deny their sin than to deal with our sin. Listen, we need to pray like David did. Search me, O God. Make it a personal plea. And understand it's a penitent plea. And then thirdly, it's a precise plea. Look what he said. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked thing in me in the way everlasting. David was very precise here. He said, in these three areas, Lord, I need you to search me. Number one, search my heart. And the heart in the Bible speaks of the control center of a person. It controls our emotions, our feelings. David understood that what a person is in his heart governs that person. And David knew the propensity to harbor things in a person's heart that shouldn't be there. You listen to me? See, we're independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptists. And we have this idea, well, you know, I've cleaned up my life. I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit going to the bar, I quit gambling, I quit this, I quit that. I'm good. But we have a lot of hidden sins. See, we've taken care of the ones people see. But we've got sins of the heart. David says, that's what he's saying to the Lord now. Lord, look down in my heart. You know, there was a poem, and I don't know the whole poem. But here's what it was all about. It was about a person's heart. And how there were many rooms in a person's heart. And the person had given God access to almost all the rooms. Except that room. And that room. You have access to my whole house, Lord. Except, don't go there. Don't go there. David says, no, Lord, search the whole house. No doors locked. Access to everything, Lord. You willing to say that today? We need to. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Then he says, and try me and know my thoughts. David wanted the Lord to examine all of his thoughts. Try me carries the idea of investigating and judging. David says, know my heart, know my thoughts. And then he says, and my lifestyle. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David desired to have God examine his every deed and bring to light that which was wicked or wrong. This is where we need to be. Lord, examine my heart. Search my heart. Way down in the deep recesses, Lord. Way down where maybe I've put some things and kind of hid them down there. Maybe some bitterness. Maybe some envy. Maybe some lust. Maybe some jealousy. Maybe some covetousness. Maybe some hatred. Lord, is there any of that down in here that I've not owned up to? I thought about this. I wrote myself a little note. I said to me, what we need is a good old-fashioned heart cleaning once in a while. And it reminded me of being a kid. I was born in the Pittsburgh area, south of Pittsburgh, a little place called Bentleyville. It's over by Washington, PA. My daddy was a coal miner. We had I call it a three-story house. It's actually two stories with a basement. But we used the basement, you know. It wasn't finished. It was just area for us to play. But, you know, we had this basement. I learned basements are like garages. Not that you park cars in them. Because a lot of garages will never see a car. They're magnets for stuff. Stuff. You know, we'd have something and my parents wouldn't know what to do with it, so take it down the basement. What are you going to do with this? Put it in the basement. And this would go on for maybe a year or so, you know, maybe a year and a half. Put it in the basement. Put it in the basement. But wait a minute, one day came. Let's go have a basement cleaning day. And we go down there and root and tear and, boy, just throw out everything that didn't belong there. That's what some of the folks in this room need to do with your heart. Get down there where you've been storing stuff that don't need to be there and get rid of it. Search my heart, Lord. Go ahead, let's have a basement cleaning day. You just get down in there and root all that stuff. Help me to deal with it. Good old-fashioned basement cleaning. And then David says, know my thoughts. That one scares me. Have you ever thought of what it would be like if somebody could read your mind? I can't imagine. If somebody could read your mind, you'd probably get slapped a lot and punched a lot. Huh? Serious? Some of you would probably be in jail. Somebody could read your mind. Isn't that a scary thought? There is somebody who can read your mind. The Lord. He knows our thoughts. Yeah. To me, that's scary. Now, listen. I hope you do. I try to keep it right. But boy, it's a battle. And sadly, a lot of Christians don't fight the battle. I mean, you look good on the outside, but man, in that mind, a lot of filth. Huh? A lot of wrong thoughts. David says, go ahead, examine my thoughts. I'm going to be right with you. And then he says, by the way, don't ever forget this. Every deed we do begins with a thought. In Proverbs 23:7 it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you dwell on and what you think about and what permeates your mind is what you're going to be. Our desire ought to be to have right thoughts, pure thoughts. And live every day realizing God knows every one of my thoughts. I wrote me another one of my little notes. Never forget, God knows your every thought. And think about this. How would it be if God broadcasted your thoughts to the whole world? Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Well, over in Philippians, Paul says, we're to have the right mind, think on the right things. We're to have the mind of Christ. As I said, it's a battle, but we need to work at it. And then our lifestyle. We need to let God, listen to me. We need to let God examine how we're living. We need to run everything through the filter of God and His will in how we're living. We need to allow God to evaluate our lifestyle, if you will. We need to let God be the authority, the judge, where I go, who I go with, what I listen to, what I read, what I watch, how I speak, how I spend my money, how I use my time, what my priorities are. Listen, we need to let God judge all that. Listen, I'm so tired of Christians who are letting culture, the world, style, immediacy, if you will, friends, fashion, all those kind of things to direct their lives. Listen, I don't give a hoot about fashion. Now, I'm not saying we need to, you know, be 1800s and all that kind. No, but I'm saying this. If fashion don't line up with what God says, I'm going with what God says. Gals, I noticed lately here, the hemlines are coming up again. Amen, preacher, I noticed it too. Thank you. These girls got this new style of a real full-type skirt, but it comes up to here. I wonder if our Christian ladies ever ask God, what do you think of that? Low-cut tops. I wonder if our ladies ever ask the Lord, what do you think of that? Go on places we shouldn't go. I wonder, you're reading something and you know, it's not Christian for sure. I wonder if you ever asked the Lord, what do you think of me reading this? When you get on that computer, how's God feel about where you've been going on that computer? Our lifestyle. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. So if I'm really saved, I should be striving to live like a new man. Not like a heathen. There's Brother Jeffcoat was singing the other day in our service. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The things I used to read, I don't read them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Listen, I'm not the judge of what you do. Now, I'm going to stand up here and tell you what God says. I'm going to tell you what He says about how we dress and where we go and what we listen to and what, all that kind of, I'm going to tell you because that's my job. I'm a shepherd who's to warn the sheep. But see, I can't make you line up with it. I can tell you what God says, but I can't make you live it. It's not my job to make you live it. Not my job. But it's your responsibility as a Christian to live it. See, so when you don't live it, it's not against me.
I just don't agree with that, Pastor Gilmore.
No, you don't agree with God. And it's not against me, it's against Him. Search me. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about where I'm going and what I'm doing and who I'm hanging around with and language I'm using and on we could go. How do you feel about it, Lord? See, maybe it just hadn't dawned on you that one day you're going to answer to Him. Oh, no, preacher, now you... I got you. My sins are all under the blood. You're right. And that's not what you're going to answer to Him for. You're going to answer to Him for why didn't you live for me when you had the opportunity? And that has to do with living His will. How do I get His will? Lord, examine me. See where I'm out of Your will. Show me. Now, I'm going to tell you why most people won't pray that prayer. Right there. You say, what's that word? Poignant. It means sharply painful to the senses or feelings. See, when David prayed this prayer, he understood this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. But this is what I want. I said earlier, he didn't pray this prayer because he thought God was going to pat him on the back saying, good boy. He's praying this prayer anticipating, it's going to hurt. David knew God's searching would reveal a lot of dirt in his life, even some David tried to hide from himself. And listen, when we pray this prayer, we need to anticipate it's going to hurt. See, I know by experience, when I say, Lord, search me, show me what's wrong, He'll do it. And I'll say, ooh, really? That hurts. I thought I was okay there. Oh, you knew about that? It's going to be painful. You ever, sometimes we don't like what we see. We'll be confronted with how far we fall short of the mark for God. It reminded me of a story I read about this very obese woman. And the story said she had every mirror removed from her house because she could not stand to see it hurt. Now, she removed the mirror, but it didn't help her. Sometimes people get away from the mirror of God's Word because it shows stuff they don't like. And they don't want change. But it doesn't help you. One final thing. We need to make this a passionate plea. David says, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what David is asking God to do? Take control of my life. Have you ever done that? See, and I'm not being critical, but I believe most Christians have never done that. Never come to God and said, I want you to take control of my life. They're afraid to do that. Because He will. But see, if you pray that kind of prayer, God, take control of my life, it may cost you something. And He'll take you up on it. And your life will change dramatically. And God will begin to lead you where He wants you. Lead you to do what He wants you to do. Lead you to hang around who He wants you to hang around. Lead you to buy what He wants you to buy. Lead you to work where He wants you to work. Lead you. I see a lot of people don't want that. They want God. They're glad to be saved. And they want God to have some of their life. But there are some areas, you know, Lord, this is your part. And this is my part. And you can have this and control here. And what you, I'll go to church, you know, and I'll tithe. And you can have all that. But over here, you know, when I'm with my buddies, when I'm with my unsaved family, when I'm alone, all these areas over here, I'll take care of that. You just take care of this. That's how a lot of Christians live. I'm being honest. David said, no, I don't want to live that way. Here's the steering wheel. You're in control. I'm not in control. There used to be, well, back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, there was this license plate for the front of your car. It said, God is my co-pilot. And I said, I wouldn't have one of them in a million years.
So he said, what's wrong with that?
I said, he's not the co-pilot, he's the pilot. See, the problem is too many Christians have God as the co-pilot. Where is he in your life? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Will that be your prayer today? Would you dare pray that prayer today? God will honor it. God will help you. And you know, when you pray that prayer and listen to God and obey Him, it will drastically change your Christian life. Are you willing to say that today? Search me. Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know there's things that need to change. Search me. Show me. I'll change it. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to talk to the Christians here for a minute. Saved folks. How many of you are saved folks? If you're saved folk, hold up your hand. Okay, put it down. You just said you're a saved person. I'm going to talk to you. Are you willing to say to God today, search me. Show me what's displeasing to you in my life. And God, I promise I'll do my dead level best to change it. Search me. Show me. I want you to help me. That's my prayer today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up? You're willing to say that to God today. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Lord, I'm saying it and I mean it. Search me. Show me. And I promise I'll change it. Put it down. How many in here could not say that because you've never been saved? You've never come to Christ. You've never been born again. You don't know Him in a personal way. But today God's speaking to your heart and saying, hey, these people have something I don't have. I need it. I need to get saved today. If that's your situation, would you hold up your hand right now and say, preacher, I need to get saved today. I need to have Jesus in my heart and in my life. I don't know if I died, I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Here's my hand.